Our scripture test this morning comes from the 23rd chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 12. And I will be sharing from the New Revised Standard Version. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it, but do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love to have the place of honor at banquets and the best seats in the synagogue, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have people call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all students. And call no one your father on earth, for you have one father, the one in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who will exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." This is the word of God for the people of God, for which we say,
thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations in each one of our hearts be acceptable worship offered to you, our rock, our redeemer, and the one always working within us. Amen. In the scripture verses just before today's text begins, Jesus has been in the synagogue and he has been tested by an expert in the law, asking, "Jesus, what is the greatest commandment?" No doubt you can say it with me. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments." Jesus now turns his attention to the crowds and his disciples and us. And he offers a new teaching, a new counseling. It's all about authenticity versus showmanship. It's about right motives, right attitudes, congruity between our words and our actions. They thought they were exceptional, these scribes and Pharisees, role models of religion, superstars of everything spiritual, God's very own dream team, so to speak. And nothing made them happier than to be seated at the head table, guests of honor, sitting in the most comfortable pews in worship, accepting greetings of respect from the regular people, those out on the street, those in the marketplace. And they wore the religious bling of first century Judaism with their very large prayer boxes containing scripture strapped to their foreheads and their wrists, and very, very long tassels on their prayer shawl, all to call attention to their devotion to religious duties. And then Jesus calls it for what it is: pure arrogance and hypocrisy. But Jesus doesn't doubt their expertise in the law, and he tells the crowd to do what they teach from the law. In verse 4, Jesus says that the rendition of the law offered by the scribes and Pharisees goes well beyond any reverence for God and respect for others. Their interpretation places heavy burdens that discourage and dishearten, making it difficult to experience God. As self-proclaimed exceptional men, they believe it is their duty to offer the gift of moral clarity to others. But as for practicing that love your neighbor thing, well, that's someone else's problem. The Pharisees and the scribes have caught a spiritual disease called pride. In place of pride, in place of arrogance, Jesus teaches humility. Not even the Pharisees could measure up to the high standards of piety that they had set for themselves and for others. You know, at the end of the day, we are all dependent upon God's grace. One instructor, one Messiah, one God of all. In the last verses of our text, Jesus must have knocked the sandals off those gathered in the crowd. He turns their entire social structure upside down. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. Trading places. A grand reversal. Humility. Turning away from arrogance. Be a disciple of the Messiah, a humble servant. The aim of Jesus is to teach what the kingdom of God is like. Most kingdoms are characterized by rigid social classes, a pyramid structure. King and queen at the top, the nobles just below, then the rich a little lower, then the commoners, and then at the very end, at the very bottom, the slave. Things don't change much in the kingdoms of this world. Sometimes it's very, very hard to move up to the next level. But not in God's kingdom. God's kingdom, the one we pray to come to earth, is different. We are all brothers and sisters, with God as our parent and Christ as our teacher. And we are to have the mind of Christ and humble ourselves as did he. Today we observe All Saints' Day. And if you were to Google the word saint, you will discover many different definitions and understandings. Among Protestant groups, every Christian becomes a saint at death and joins the church triumphant. Saints are understood in many places not only as Christians who have died, but also as living Christians, those who lead exemplary lives of faith and then serve as extraordinary teachers of the faith. For our observance, we will consider saints as people of faith, both living and dead. Imagine in your mind's eye and in your heart, saints are those who have come to know God and by their lives give others a vision of the nature of God and the ways of God. Saints live abundant lives because they have been awakened to the presence of God and in turn awaken others to that presence. They become mentors of transformation, making disciples for Jesus Christ. All done with absence of pride or self-importance. Who are the people who have played or now play the role of a saint in your life? Who has been a role model for your Christian living? Who has encouraged meaningful, positive change in the direction of your life? Who are the people who have moved you closer to God? All with a humble spirit. Let us give thanks for all the saints, those who are near and those who are far away, those who have died and those who are living. Let us give thanks for those who knew and know that a difference was made. And let us give thanks for those who will never know that they were saints in your life. And so, in honor of all the saints, let us learn to live in the humility, in the strength, in the confidence, in the authenticity about which Jesus spoke to the crowds, to the disciples, and to us. Commemorating the saints, acknowledging the saints, is nothing other than a way of affirming that the transforming power of God and Christ is at work all around us. And that, my friends, is where we find our hope and our peace.